Hello and welcome back to Corporate Wealth. I'm your host, Kirtana Tiwari, and joining me is Prince Thomas, Moneycontrol's Corporate Bureau Chief. And we were talking about how corporate India is coping with the coronavirus pandemic. Hi, Prince.
Hi, Kirtana.
This week, we know that some companies and factories have reopened. So what is the progress on that?
Yeah, so some of them have. For instance, in auto sector, we have seen companies like Bajaj saying that they would be, you know, resuming operations, not completely, but in parts. And not just companies also, even their dealers have started opening. I don't think it's even 50% right now, but still they are opening. And even other companies that we have spoken to in the infrastructure field, in manufacturing, even some white goods companies that who produce appliances and wires, they have also restarted their operations. But it's nowhere near the levels that we saw before the COVID outbreak happened. Mm-hmm. And I think that will take some time because there's so many variables here. One is about the increased protocol that the employers have to put in their workplace. And then the regulations that are there in terms of labor movement, availability of labor, or even terms of social distancing.
Yeah.
And which is actually has for companies, many more challenges have come up because, for instance, an appliance maker whom we talked to earlier in the week. So now in his factory, the equipment are placed only few feet away from each other.
Okay.
So if you're saying that there has to be at least 6 feet distance between two workers on the shop floor, mm-hmm. it's almost impossible to do that in that particular format. And there's nothing that they can do to change that.
Right.
So these challenges are there, and for companies, it's very difficult for them to really alter the way a layout of a shop floor is.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple challenges like this.
Right, and one of the biggest challenges, I'm sure, is the fact that factories may need their laborers back, and many of them are stuck in their villages, and there isn't enough transport for them to come back.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, not just that. We have seen that much of the migrant labor has been stuck in cities.
Right.
Or wherever they are, and they've been unable to travel. Only this week, I think, onwards, we have seen Indian Railways starting trains to transport them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is that the timing couldn't have been worse because we are just seeing the manufacturing units and other units opening up, and they need labor, and this is the time when labor is traveling out.
Yeah.
You know, so we have got the timing all wrong, and that is adding to the problem. I was just speaking to a chief executive of a manufacturing sector which makes capital goods. And he was saying how the local administration is forcing the migrant labor to go because that probably may reduce their responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But for him, the problem is to access labor. And
right.
If he was employing about 40, 50,000 laborers across his units in India,
mm-hmm.
right now he's getting only 15 to 20,000, which is not even half. So labor, availability of labor is going to be a huge issue. And they are not going to come back immediately because one, the fear of the disease is there. And
mm-hmm.
second, there is also the uncertainty if they will get a job immediately once they come back.
Right.
So we are looking at a, you know, short-term, medium-term disruption happening because of lack of labor. And people have been saying that it could take anywhere between 6 months to a year for the mm-hmm. normal supply of labor to resume. So that's quite a disruption that we are facing.
Right. Definitely, this does seem to be a new problem that we're facing. And every week that we have been discussing, Prince, we are seeing different problems that companies and people are facing.
Yes, because, for instance, Kirtana, we said that the dealers are opening.
Yeah.
Now, if you picture a typical dealership, I mean, you have people, customers who are going for inquiries. You have existing customers who are coming for servicing
right.
of their vehicles. So how do you really manage the flow there of traffic? It's going to be extremely difficult. So I think each and every part of the business will have to really rethink how they have to go about doing the work.
But also, Prince, how won't these dealerships have failed right now at this point,
mm-hmm.
because everyone is still inside, they'd want to go easy on their expenses, even in terms of going taking their vehicles for servicing. Even that wouldn't happen, right?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be very difficult because one, like I said, the demand has really, you know, slumped, and it will really take a lot of time and rebuilding that confidence among customers to come back and start buying. And like you said, you know, many are facing, you know, uncertainty in jobs, facing pay cuts. So if they were looking to buy a car that was costing more than 10 lakhs, now they would be looking to buy a car which is, say, 7 lakh, 8 lakh.
Right.
So all those implications, someone may be wanting to buy a small car but may now look at a two-wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
So many of those decisions will be taken now. We know that auto companies, including even the luxury car makers, are now pushing for online. In fact, you know, one of the luxury car makers said that we want to you know, make it so smooth that it will be as easy as ordering a pizza. Now, the while it sounds good, the question mark is, does the customer behave in a similar way while buying a pizza and a luxury car?
Right, exactly. You know? Also, Prince, let's talk about this government's repatriation plan. They're planning to bring back a lot of Indians, and they have also started with a fleet of 64 flights, right?
64 flights, yes.
Yeah. Can you give us some more details on this?
Yeah, so even as we speak, I think some of the flights have already arrived. Few flights in Kerala and in Delhi also, I think some flights have landed.
Okay.
I think, so as good as it is to see that Indians who are stranded overseas and were going through a lot of issues, they are people who lost jobs or having health problems or simply needed to get back home to the family because they were they had gone on work. So it's good to see them back, but I think there are a lot of logistical challenges that remain to be solved, because we're also talking about these flights, while when they go out of India, they also take a lot of Indians who are NRIs who are stuck in India.
Right.
Now, the problem for them is they don't have, say, someone is in Guntur or someone is in Ahmedabad.
Mm-hmm.
They need to come to a Mumbai or a Delhi to really catch the flight.
Right.
Now, during a lockdown, how do they travel? And we did stories chronicling the issues that people were having in doing this. Now, the aviation industry, if you talk to them, they are in a bit of a ponder because they are wondering why the government has got only Air India to do these flights. You know, even if the connecting domestic flights of the private airlines were brought in, probably things could have been smoother. Now it is up to one airline to really coordinate and arrange, which is a logistical challenge, a huge logistical challenge, because right from training and testing your crew, you have to ensure that on the ground, all the facilities, right from security check, screening, everything is, you know, has to go smooth.
Right.
And we are also talking about putting all the people who come to India on quarantine for 14 days. So it's a huge logistical challenge. The big question here is why the government has mandated only Air India. Because let's make it clear, Air India is getting paid for this.
Right.
We've been saying that, you know, Air India has been doing the nation a great service. It has been. It has taken, brought people, Indians who are stuck in Wuhan and other parts of the world, they've got them back. But here we're talking about customers who are paying for the ticket.
Right.
And Air India is making money out of this, and the airfares also are not very cheap.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, some of the airfares are higher than what you would otherwise see during normal times. So why is it that only Air India is getting the opportunity to do this? Why not get the private airlines to also come in and share the responsibility? And to be fair on them, even they also need to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one, it will, if you bring in more players, one, it will make the exercise easier, because we are, right now we are just at the first leg, the start of the first leg of the exercise.
Right.
And this will bring in only about 15,000 Indians. We're talking about more than 2 lakh Indians are waiting to come back.
Yeah.
So that will make the exercise easier. Second, if you bring in more players, actually the fares will go down. Because as we know, the higher the competition, better it is for the customer.
Right.
So if you bring in players, the fares is also go down. So it's easier for the customers too. So I think, I mean, the aviation minister did say that in the next stages they would look at bringing in the private airlines, but we really wonder why that will not have happened from the first stage itself.
Yes. Okay, Prince, coming away from the coronavirus news, Vista Equity Partners have picked up 2.3% stake in Jio Platforms. Can you explain this deal and why it's significant?
It's extremely fascinating because within a span of 3 weeks, Jio has managed to raise about 60,000 crore.
Right.
And this is in a market which is otherwise extremely dismal. Many of the companies across sectors are just managing to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have a company which has raised 60,000 crore. I think it's unprecedented across sectors, not just in telecom or technology in India.
Yeah.
That a company has been able to raise so much money within just 3 weeks. And we have, and all the investors are marquee investors. Facebook, the second was Silver Lake Investment, and now we have Vista Equity Partners.
Right.
So multiple things here. One is, I think, the whole proposition of Jio, I think, gets vindicated by these investments and the platform that it has created. So as we had discussed, through these investments, what is going to happen is that the whole integration of services, and we're talking about multiple services on the platform,
mm-hmm.
right from ticketing to buying groceries to making payments, you know, even availing loans. I think looking at a huge array of services that will sync together on one platform. So that's a huge value proposition, and that is probably the reason why these investors have come in. And with each investment, the company's valuation has only increased.
Mm-hmm.
It is also exceptional, and this is only, and each deal is only a week apart. Surely this is unprecedented, and also shows that Jio as a telecom player is much on a much stronger footing.
Mm-hmm.
It had clearly disrupted the industry when it came in. It has already become the biggest. And now, just as you look at the numbers now, the average spend or the margins are just about bottomed out and about to are kind of improving. I think this is a perfect timing for Jio to bring in more money. And
right.
From RIL's point of view, I think the whole guideline that the chairman Mukesh Ambani had given on reducing debt and becoming debt-free, I think these investments actually really add to that and shows that the group is actually completely on the money, and it's following the guideline it had shared with the investors. So by all accounts, these investments are pretty unprecedented and create a new benchmark.
Right. And overall, this is also a green signal for the Indian economy, right?
Oh, yes. I think if someone needed a confidence booster, I think this is what one needed. In fact, I think when Facebook had invested in Jio, that time itself, I think Anand Mahindra had tweeted saying that it's not just about Facebook or RIL,
right.
It's about the whole economy.
Sure, let's hope that things improve for corporate India as well.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Prince, for all these details.
Sure, thanks, Kitna.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of Corporate Buzz. If you have any other queries or suggestions for us, do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.